Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the Preacher and the Miracle Man Show here for this Wednesday, October the 3rd, 2018. I am very grateful, very glad to be here to do the show. And it's great. I love it. And I am your host for this evening. I'm the Miracle Man. And my prayer is that tonight that you just come with a heart that is ready to receive from the Lord, as well as a mind that's ready to receive. That's what my prayer is for tonight. Tonight, I'm going to lay out the agenda right now so I don't forget anything. So, this evening, I'm going to start with the monologue, talk a little bit about what my favorite food, southern foods are. I'm going to do a little plug for Treat Win that starts here at McDonald's on Friday. After that, I might give a jab at Dr. Pepper, or I might not. We'll see where that goes. After we do that, I'm going to real quickly give the intro on how to listen, give the phone number, and then we're going to pray. We're going to get into the Word of the Lord. And then I'm going to exhort, and then we'll talk about baseball playoffs. We had the NL wild card, which had a surprise on it. I'll let you know what that was during that part of the program. AL wild card is tonight. We're going to be talking about that briefly. And then we will have Football Central at 7:25. You know what? We're going to start Football Central at 7:30 tonight because, though there is a lot I want to talk about, I don't feel like rushing the other stuff tonight. So I'm going to start Football Central at 7:30 for this evening. That way, 28, 29 minutes, that won't be any biggie. Now, for this monologue about the southern food. Actually, first, before I get into that, I'm going to say I understand a lot of people do not want the government getting into their business and what have you. I know I don't like it, but it's a good idea that they sent out, that they did that emergency alert system test, you know, over our phones. Well, the nice thing about that is we can get something directly from the president if something very urgent, very dire would have happened to this country. He could use that tool to be able to communicate with all of us so we would know kind of what we would need to do and what have you. And in the last days, you know, you can never be too prepared for an emergency. You should always have an emergency kit. This is not on the national scale, but this is a local scale, but we are at a slight risk, so just under 20% chance of severe thunderstorms tonight. I don't think they said anything about a tornado threat, but possible severe thunderstorm. Between like midnight and 7 a.m. is the highest risk time. Just be on the lookout for that. If you see something on your phone or you hear it thundering outside or something, hopefully it'll just be a severe thunderstorm. Hopefully not even that, because we don't want to lose power or anything. I don't want a tornado, nor do any of us. But if there is a tornado warning, just be prepared. Get away from the windows. Like what I did last week, even though it was for a very short time, the phone went off. I disconnected this program. And then went back because where I'm at McDonald's, I went by a window. And where my bed is, there's a window. And my phone is by my bed partially. I do it that way so that I can be alerted. You can never be too prepared, but just be ready to go. Shouldn't he be? All right, we're going to lighten it up a bit. I want to tell you about some of my favorite southern foods. Yes, I'm going to be going down there in about 12 days. I'm still working on how I'm going to do shows while I'm down there. It's going to be one at bare minimum, but probably two. They may be shorter and or have a little bit different content. We'll still have the Bible reading. We'll still have some sports. Part of the programming, though, is going to be based on what I'm doing. And timing may be different too, because I'm not gonna make it so that it's at a time that I can't do stuff. And if for whatever reason it can only be one show, then it is what it is. But now about the food. Part of this is going to be some of the items as well as some of the restaurants down there. Some of these are available up here on the other side of the Mason-Dixon line. Other places are not. You say, Miracle Man, what do you describe as the Mason-Dixie line? Well, I would say that Brent Spence Bridge that you go over that divides Cincinnati from Kentucky would be the exact location. As far as relative location, I would say anything north of Cincinnati is the north, and anything like in Cincinnati south is south. So you would say inside Cincinnati would be the south, right? Yeah, I would say the same thing. People say, yeah, but it's part of Ohio. Well, Cincinnati does kind of have some Southern characteristics about it, but at the same time, it's kind of Northern as well. It's a good mixed city. Kind of why I love it. But I'm not going to spend any time talking about Cincinnati chili tonight, even though I greatly enjoyed it the one time I had it. It's not something that I would call a Southern food. As far as Southern stuff, one of my favorites is the fried chicken with baked beans and mashed potatoes from a restaurant called Champy's Fried Chicken. There's a few locations for them in various places around the South. There's two that I've been to, both of which are in Chattanooga. There's another one that they have opened near Nashville. It's not in it, but it's near it. There's a couple in Mississippi and Alabama, too. So it's kind of more Deep South style as opposed to, like, Southeast, like Georgia, Carolina, Virginia. A bit more like Deep South, Mid-South, Alabama, Mississippi. So that's the flavor more so that they're aiming for, I think. Another thing. Banana pudding. Any place that has that, or maybe it's banana bread pudding. What it is it's like banana bread pudding type mix. You've heard of that in the South, haven't you? Yes. Both of those are more. Is it something called banana bread pudding, or is it two different kinds?
I don't know.
They both are a bit bigger in the South, I feel like, don't you think? Both types?
Mm-hmm.
To me, the ultimate would be both types combined. That would be the ultimate. But to me, that is like, would be like a Southern dessert. As would cobbler, various cobblers, that might be a little bigger in the South. Also cornbread. I like the soft cornbread better, don't you? I like the soft cornbread because the other kind is kind of... Of course, there's also other various food places that I've went to in my times in the South that I've really enjoyed. I like a lot of the local small town places too that you may find near 75. Or 65 or something in like a Kentucky, a Tennessee, a Georgia, an Alabama. I'm sure in Mississippi, of course, and then I'm sure in the Carolinas. Even though I haven't been to the Carolinas or Mississippi yet. Another place I really enjoyed, one of my other favorite Southern food places that I went to, was called Jenkins Buffet. Maybe it was Wally's. It was one of them. It's on Ringgold Road, just 1 mile north of the Tennessee-Georgia state line, right there in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Great food at a great price. They had awesome biscuits and gravy. Awesome other meat-based dishes that they had. They had real good banana pudding. They had good other desserts. It was an all-around good Southern feast type place to go to. If you want some good Southern cooking but can't decide what you want, and you just want a little bit of everything, and you're traveling down 75, stop at Wally's Buffet on Ringgold Road, just west of I-75. Obviously, this is for those of you who may be like on the way to Florida. If you're going to winter down, if you're living in Michigan and you're going down in Florida to winter, and that happens to be the way that your GPS takes you, please stop at Wally's or Champy's, your choice. One of these, one of those two, please. And when there's also other good Southern places that I am excited about. One is a place called Bojangles Chicken and Biscuits. I have not been to it yet, but I am extremely excited about it. My plan is to either go there this trip or to go when I go, if I go for New Year's Eve. One of these two times, I will definitely go to Bojangles. I've been trying to go to it for 7 years. But a lot of times I forgot. Really excited about that. Supposed to have really good chicken. Was Bojangles the one you said you really liked, Donut?
Yep.
What do you recommend? Did they have
cornbread and chicken? Did their
chicken have like somewhat sweet, flaky taste kind of?
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah.
Was it like better? Was it chicken strips or was it like full fried chicken pieces like what you'd get at KFC?
I had chicken strips, but I'm pretty sure they had chicken, like different chicken.
I'd like to see a Bojangles at a buffet, to be honest with you, so I could try the various types.
Yeah,
that would be my heaven right there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it really would. And really excited about it. And, of course, like she just said, the cornbread was amazing.
Great mac and cheese, too.
The mac and cheese, I know mac and cheese is supposed to be universal. It's just a popular American dish. Well, the South takes mac and cheese to, like, a whole new level. And I tell you, when I go down there and I eat that mac and cheese, you're talking. You could just sit there and go in a trance any minute while you're eating it.
Oh,
hallelujah! You're talking good food. Oh, and some of those baked beans. I know. Up here, we have a lot of different versions of those, but the Southern versions are always better. They are. And, you know, especially at those local places where you go in there and people will be in there, like, conversation and talking to the owners and what have you. That's my dream kind of Southern place. And so also there's one thing, Southern item I haven't talked about yet. That is Southern fried catfish. Sir, what you laughing at? Sorry about that. Well, about Southern fried catfish, there is a guy, well, Grits, I'm trying to find a way to find grits that has a good amount of flavor in it. Have you happened to find some that has good flavor?
Butter.
I'll have to try that. I'll need to try that. Thanks, sir. Yep, see? You said fried. You said dried grits with butter on it. I will take that advice. I'm going to at least try a bite or two of it and see what I think about it. But the Southern Fried Catfish, man, oh, man, oh, man. Cracker Barrel has some real good stuff. Now, I'm going to have to see. Can I find a restaurant in the South that has even better fried catfish? I believe so. I have every reason to believe so. And, of course, I hope so. On the subject of catfish, there is a radio announcer for the Seahawks out there in Seattle. You want to know what he says if it's a real awesome play every once in a great while? He will say, "Holy catfish." I will admit, he's from North Carolina, and so he has that right. To me, that is for the South. That holy catfish, that is not for Seattle. That's for the Southern U.S. Don't you agree, Donna?
I do.
If I was a radio announcer, the play-by-play guy, like for the Falcons or for the New Orleans Saints or the Houston Texans or the Carolina Kitties, down there, if I was the radio play-by-play guy and saw a real, real, real awesome guy, I mean, real, real awesome play, I would totally throw on a holy catfish. No, not every game. Just like Steve Vrabel, I would only do it on special occasions. But I'd be in the Southern U.S. doing it. I mean, for a team from the Southern U.S. Obviously, what if the game's in Seattle and they do that play? Well, you're still going to hear a holy catfish. For me, you would. But if it's for a team in the South, I would totally do it there. And biscuits and gravy from Waffle House is another big one. There's a Buckeye Waffle?
Yes.
What is it?
It's a waffle. It's got chocolate chips and peanut butter chips on top. It is serious heaven. It's called the Buckeye Waffle.
Oh, the Buckeye Waffle. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. How did you know about this waffle?
I don't know how you didn't know. It is delicious.
Yes, here in Michigan, we eat Buckeyes. Yes, I love the Buckeyes, too, but so, yeah, lots of great food ideas. I'm going to launch that Facebook page for the show in the next few days. I will do a poll on Facebook for those of you who decide to go follow the Miracle Man show on Facebook. I'm going to do a poll on there and ask you what your favorite Southern foods are and why. And some of you who have been to some of these places down south, where exactly should I go? I can already think of two or three places that I'm going to go to. But, I mean, I will probably go to. If you guys can think of places that are even better, I may go to those. Now, just keep in mind that I'm only going to be between here and Atlanta area, Georgia. So, no Louisville, no Nashville. Those are out this trip because obviously the GPS has us doing 75. So, needs to be like within a few miles of 75. Unless, of course, it's in the Atlanta area. But other than that, try to keep it like 10 miles from 75. Just to keep it in mind, you guys can think of some places. Cause I'm always up to try new southern places. And part of why I go down south is for the awesome food. It's part of what makes these cities so awesome. And why I try to go somewhere south of the Mason-Dixie line approximately every year, the last 7 years. Sometimes every year and a half, but I don't go down there just to go. I go down there because I love it. I want to make sure you know that. And the older I get, the more I love it. Yeah. Now, before I do the quick intro and we get into prayer, I just want to let y'all know the trick-treat win game is starting up on Friday. Pieces will be affixed on special packaging, like medium drinks, large fries, quarter pounder with cheese, 10-piece McNugget, 20-piece McNugget, 6 and 10-piece buttermilk crispy chicken tenders, among other items. See store for details, please. See how if we can win some big prizes. You'll also be able to play on the McDonald's app. So go check it out. Begins on Friday. Now, real quickly, I just want to let you guys all know, if you have friends and family members who are interested in listening to the show, please tell them about the show. Please tell them about the show. It's awesome. I love doing it. We believe in God for increases in listenership. We also believe in God for sponsors and partners. We believe in for finances to come in. We believe in for new equipment so we can take the show farther. Reach more people. Amen. So you can tell the listeners, tell them to go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. If you type that in, click on that link. Then you'll see another link that says Live and Large. We want you to click that link, please. And then you'll see a bubble that says Preacher Miracle Man. That's our show. We've done over 220 episodes now. I believe we're at like 225, 226. I've lost count. Going awesome, and I love doing it. And when you get on there, we want you to hit that follow button. Because when you hit that follow button, you're going to start getting notified when we get ready to do our shows. So Monday at 6:30, we're going to go live again. Every time for another, you get that notification on your phone. Miracle Man goes live in 15 minutes. Get ready to enjoy the show. And we want to let you know, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea. And we really believe it. All right. We have a telephone number where you can call in. And you can talk about basically anything you want to, except politics. If you want to talk politics, we're just going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, just like the Bible says. That number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. please listen for the prompts and then press 1. We have the prompt that says, to call into the live show, press 1. And then my assistant, Jenny, will let me know that we got a caller. And then I'm going to let you on the air. I'm going to say, what say you? Or whatever, and then we're going to let you speak. Hopefully we can get some great calls in tonight. All right. I'm just going to pray real quick, then we're going to open up the Bible. Dear Lord, I thank you for this great show. Thank you for these listeners who have chosen to tune into this program. Thank you that you bless these people, that they have a heart and a mind that are ready to receive from you, Jesus. And I just thank you that they'll receive whatever they're believing for from you. Now, Lord, I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. And thank you that you will just make your have full course on this program tonight. And Lord, I confess over the show that finances come in, new equipment comes in, new more and more listeners come in to the show, and sponsors who want to help me come on board. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 22. All right, Joshua 22. And we are continuing to talk about Joshua and the Israelites and their battles and everything they went through. I'm having fun doing this. Then I think we're going to go into Judges. But then after we do that, I'm going to delve into some Proverbs and some Psalms. Because there's some beautiful things in there. All right. Joshua 22. Here we go. Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. And you have obeyed me in everything I command. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Now that the Lord your God has given your brothers rest, as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Be very careful to keep the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways, to obey his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all of your heart and all of your soul. And Joshua blessed them, and they sent them away. And they went to their homes, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Moses had given land in Bashan. And to the other half of the tribe, Joshua gave land on the west side of the Jordan with their brothers. When Joshua sent them home, he blessed them, saying, return to your homes with your great wealth. For large herds of livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and with great clothing, and divide with your brothers the plunder from your enemies. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh in Canaan to return to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses. When they came to Gilead near the Jordan in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. And when the Israelites heard that they had built the altar on the border of Canaan at Gilead near the Jordan on the Israelite side, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh to go to war against them. So the Israelites sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to the land of Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. With them, they sent 10 of the chief men, one of each of the tribes of Israel, each the head of a family division among the Israelite clans. When they went to Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they said to them, the whole assembly of the Lord says, how could you break faith with the God of Israel like this? How could you turn away from the Lord and build yourselves an altar in rebellion against him? Was not the sin of Peor enough for us? Up to this very day, we have not cleansed ourselves from the sins, even though a plague fell on the community of the Lord. And are you now turning away from the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow he will be angry with the whole community of Israel. If the land you possess is defiled, come over to the Lord's land where the Lord's tabernacle stands and share the land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar for yourselves other than the altar of the Lord, our God. When Achan, son of Zerah, acted unfaithfully, disregarding the devoted things, did not wrath come upon the whole community of Israel? He was not the only one who died for his sin. Then Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied to the heads of the clans of Israel, the mighty one, God, the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord, he knows. And let Israel know, if this has been in rebellion or disobedience to the Lord, do not spare us this day. If we have built our own altar to turn away from the Lord and to offer burnt offerings and grain offerings or to sacrifice fellowship offerings on it. May the Lord himself call us to account. No, we did it for fear that someday your descendants might say to ourselves, what do you have to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, the Reubenites and Gadites. You have no share in the Lord. So your descendants might cause ours to stop fearing the Lord. That is why we said, let us get offerings or sacrifices. On the contrary, it is to be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow, that we will worship the Lord at his sanctuary with our burnt offerings and sacrifices and fellowship offerings. And then in the future, your descendants will not be able to say for ourselves, you have no share in the Lord. And we said, if they ever say this to us or to our descendants, we will answer, look at the replica of the Lord's altar, which our fathers built, not for burnt offerings and sacrifices, but as a witness between us and you. Far be it from us to rebel against the Lord and turn away from him today by building an altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sacrifices other than the altar of the Lord our God, or stands before his tabernacle. When Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community, the heads and the clans and the Israelites, heard what Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh had to say, they were pleased. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, said to Reuben, Gad and Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is with us, because you have not acted unfaithfully toward the Lord in this matter. Now you have rescued the Israelites from the Lord's hand. Then Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, and the leaders returned to Canaan from their meeting with the Reubenites and Gadites in Gilead, and they reported to the Israelites. They were glad to hear the report, and they talked no more about going to war against them in order to devastate the country where the Reubenites and the Gadites lived. And the Reubenites and the Gadites gave the altar this name, a witness between us that the Lord is God. All right. You know, these were amazing people. They really wanted to serve God. They were just awesome. And they were just good people that love God. And they built an altar unto the Lord. They didn't just build an altar just to build an altar. It was meant to be a holy place unto the Lord. Let me talk to you guys a couple of minutes about the altar. All right. Now today at the altar, the church I go to, we praise and worship God at the altar. We go up to the altar for prayer from the elders if we need it. During pre-service prayer, you can go up to the altar to pray. You give your tithes and offerings up at the altar at the church I go to. Yeah, but at the church I go to, we just do the silly bucket plates at the door. No, not us. We believe in bringing it right up to the altars of God. Because God sees you when you do that. And the altar of God demands respect. Do not play around when you're up at that altar. Do not play around. Be very serious between you and God. That's where the anointing of God is. Yes, it fills the whole house, but the whole church and that, but it's especially noticeable at the altar. That's why I go up there during praise and worship. The holy place, the holy of holies. And yes, God is in the whole house, but he's especially up at the altar. And you just go up there. There's a presence of the Lord that's different there compared to just at your seat. I mean, yes, same presence, but it's richer. There's just something to it. There's just why I grab a hold of the horns of the altar. And yeah, some people may be afraid to go up there during prayer or during praise and worship or whatever at my church. Hey, that's where the anointing is. If you go to a church and it's one of those churches where a pastor lets you go up to the altar, go up there for praise and worship. Worship God. If you got, and if at your church you got pre-service prayer and they let you go up there and pray, go up there. Because there is an anointing at the altar of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen and amen. And it is an anointing that demands respect. So, it is very sacred. The altar is very sacred. Lord, thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for your power. Thank you that we all get this word inside of us. And that we realize, Lord, that your altar is very significant. And that we cannot belittle it. It is very important. And that we will take advantage of it. I don't mean take advantage like disrespect, but if we're allowed to go up there and pray, you know, during prayer, we'll be up there. I just thank you, Lord, for this great word. Thank you for these people tonight. Thank you that everyone, every need is met tonight. Whatever these people are believing for, they will receive it. They are receiving it through you tonight in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. All righty. It is 7:23. I said that I would start Football Central at about 7:30, so I'm going to do this baseball thing right and not try to just rush it. All right. So, first we're going to back up to last night. Last night, NL side, you had the Cubs lose to the Rockies? Huh? Yep. The Cubs lost to the Rockies in Chicago at Wrigley 4-1. Wasn't really that close. The Cubs had two chances to get into the playoffs. Game 160 at the Brewers, they lost that. And then game 164. That wild card game last night. They blew them both. So, the Cubs that won the World Series 2 years ago, so they'll have to hope for next year that they can get it. So we'll have to see what happens there. So, on one side of the NL playoffs, NLDS, you have Atlanta versus the Dodgers. Starting in Los Angeles, games 1 and 2. Then games 3 and 4. Game 3 would be in Atlanta. 3 will be in Atlanta. 4 would be in Atlanta if necessary. 5 would be back in Los Angeles if necessary. Do I think Atlanta could win their side of the ALDS? Yes. Also, the Dodgers could win it, though. And to be honest with you, remember, like I said, I'm not biased. The Dodgers are going to win round one. They're going to beat the Braves in 5 games. They went to the World Series last year. They won the NL West. Rightfully so. Even though the Rockies were really close and are in the playoffs, the Dodgers are a better team than Atlanta. That's just the way it is. Other side, Rockies. And you have Rockies, Brewers. Instead of Cubs, Brewers, you have Rockies, Brewers. Starting in, believe, Milwaukee. Game 1 and 2 would be there. Game 3 and 4 would be in Denver. Game 5 would be back in Milwaukee if need be. I'm not going to predict that series right now. Let's go to the AL and look at that AL. American League. One side. Wild card. Friday. Yankees versus Athletics. What do I think? Well, athletics have been, well, athletic, but they've been beyond athletic. They've been pretty good, pretty fun to watch. I will say the Yankees, I think, have a better chance. They've been really doing a good job as of late. They don't have 100 wins for nothing. And keep in mind, they're in a division that has the Red Sox in it. That Red Sox-Yankees, it's a fierce rivalry. And to be honest with you, you will see Red Sox, Yankees, first round. How many games do you think it'll go? All five. First two, Boston. Next two, New York. Game five, Boston. Other side, Indians, Astros. Well, Cleveland's going to keep it interesting. I do think the Astros are going to win. Especially if JV pitches. Because Verlander's doing a good job. And he really is. He had a couple near-career games this year for the Astros. And that's a team that's just clicking. They got 100 wins. Just like the Yankees do. In neither case is it by accident. And I expect them to make some noise. I don't know if they can get past the Red Sox, though. If the Red Sox won the other side of the American League playoffs. We'll see. And I will keep you updated. The series start Friday. You'll be able to listen to them on ESPN Radio. All right. Let me just check the time. Oh, perfect timing. It is 7:30. It is time for Football Central. So, hello, football listeners. I want to welcome you to another episode of Football Central here on The Miracle Man Show. It's another Wednesday during the fall here in October, and that means it's time to talk some football. Talk about the games coming up this weekend. And here's what's on the horizon for tonight, what we'll be discussing. Midland Chemics going to Bay City to take on the Wolves of Bay City Central. Dow High hosting Bay City Western for homecoming in what looks to be a soggy, rainy night at Midland Community Stadium. Michigan versus Maryland. Michigan State taking on Illinois. Both of these are at home on Saturday. Lions versus the Pack on Sunday. And what must the Lions do? They must improve that defense, and we're going to give that a bit of a look. And Patriots versus Colts tomorrow night. So, football fans, before we get into this program, let me just let you all know that you can be a big winner when, as I should mention, this is powered by Football Central, is always powered by Dairy Queen and that delicious pumpkin pie blizzard that they have during the fall. Where's that big hallelujah at? Or something? Aren't you excited? Don't you love that pumpkin pie blizzard donut? Don't you love that pumpkin pie blizzard? Well, if you got the DQ mobile app, there's something amazing you can do. If you got that amazing app and you registered for those amazing deals, you can buy one Blizzard any size and get a Blizzard of equal or lesser value for 99 cents. So you got two people, one for you, one for me. You can buy a Blizzard for regular price, get a Blizzard for someone else for 99 cents. Available at a Dairy Queen near you. And enjoy the flavors of fall. All right. Now that we have sold some airtime, let's get right to the content. Let's start with Midland at BC. The Chemics are 3-3 for the fourth time, only the fourth time in the last 13 years. They're 3-3 at this point. They must win out if they want to make the playoffs. They must. The Bay City Central Wolves are 1-5. They are at home, though. And I believe it's their homecoming, but I'm not sure. Either it is going to be their homecoming or they had it. But Midland has to do. They may just have to play harder. They just gave up too many big plays last week. Midland cannot give up key big plays. They want to be guaranteed a playoff spot. So that means even though I do honestly believe Midland will win and will probably do well, you just want to limit the amount of big plays you give up. But we're not going to worry about that until Dow game. Don't wait for Dow week. Start now. Yeah, but we don't want to run up the score. I get it, but at least cut down on the amount of yards you allow. They gave up 40 points. They nearly doubled on Friday. They basically gave up just about double the amount of points that they gave up in the other game where they gave up a good amount, which was 21 points. So the defense needs to come back to play football. As the defense had been, very good. Also, the offense needs to build back some of that confidence that they might have lost on Friday, as they only scored 20 points. So, need to just build that confidence up a little bit. What do I think? I expect Midland to do well on Friday night, get a nice big win on Friday. I think you'll see Al Money's throwing the football around well. I think you'll see our running back having at least two rushing touchdowns.
You got a caller.
Give me Midland over Bay City Central, 38-10. Well, hello there.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Who is this?
This would be your brother, Ray.
Yes, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing really awesome. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I just was seeing what the show is about tonight and was calling in just to see what you were talking about and was listening to you talk about some Midland High football.
Yep, we're doing Midland High right this second. Then we got Dow, we got Michigan, Michigan State, and then we got NFL.
Oh, awesome.
So we're kind of – so I was just getting ready to go right into Dow. So
awesome. We're going
you got
ahead,
a dog
man.
Where you're at.
I do. I actually
you
have three dogs here.
At. Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot of dogs. Three dogs and two cats.
Any thoughts on Lions or Michigan State or Michigan or Patriots?
Yeah, I do. What do you think? I have a question for you, actually, about the Lions. What do you think the Lions have to do this week to pull out the win?
Well, their defense needs to step it up. They, you can't give up a big pass like that, like what they did against Dallas. That hurt bad.
Yeah, that was
rough. That was really bad. They need to not do that if they want to win this football game.
I mean, yeah, that's not going to work at all. They need to work together better.
Because that was their third loss. And I was expecting more being they beat the Patriots. I was expecting a win.
I mean, I think we all were. We're playing against the Cowgirls.
I even picked it, but I knew it was going to be close. I knew it was going to be close.
Yeah, at least it was a good game.
It really was.
Well, what do you think about the game we have upcoming? What do we need to do to prepare for our opponents this week?
As I said, our defense needs to do better at stopping the pass because Packers aren't much of a running team, but they're huge on passing with Rodgers and his receivers. So they really got to be smart
get to that pass. You like to see our offense? What would you like our offense to do this week?
I'd like to see us get a bit more running game, like what we had against the Patriots. And then I would like to see.
Who would you like to see us start as our main running back? Who are you liking for the season for the Lions?
I don't know yet, to be honest. But what do you think?
I like LeGarrette Blount, but I'm starting to lead a little bit more towards Kerryon Johnson. He's really performing well for being so young.
I'd go with that.
Getting a
Johnson
lot of yards.
He's getting a lot of yards, and he's further from that 30-year-old wall.
Right.
Because
I mean, he's the first Lion to run for over 100 yards in quite a while.
Yep. And in the game of running backs, you know, you've got to realize that when a running back hits 30, he's done. But at 28, 29, he starts to slow down a little bit. So.
Right. Yeah, as they start to get older. For sure.
Where is he at right now? Like 24?
Honestly, I don't know his age right now.
It's 25 at the most, right?
I would think so. I would think so for sure.
But in this day and age, a lot of guys look younger than they actually are.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you been following the hockey at all this year?
And the defense and the preseason, the Red Wings look good. And they're starting up tomorrow, I believe, regular season.
Yes, they're playing against St. Louis Blues, I believe. I'm not sure about that.
At LCA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm excited for that. That's gonna be a pretty good game. We've been looking real good so far. Picked up a lot of good young talent. Got goalies set up.
Good. Hopefully, we can get back to making the playoffs again.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a good building stage. think we'll get there. Maybe not this year, but we should perform well.
Getting there is going to be the first part. Next, win around.
Right.
Steps, and then build upon those steps to bigger steps.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to build a core program and bring people in that are willing to bring good change to the team.
So that we can, because Zetterberg, I'm kind of glad he retired because he was getting to where he was just too old.
Yeah, it was getting rough for him to play, and honestly, it's just better to have people that are playing that are practicing together as well.
And that'll really help, I think. Even though we love him and he did a lot of great things for us. It just becomes a point.
Did you hear about Eiserman, what happened with him?
No, what happened?
He stepped down from his position with the Lightning and announced that he is retiring and coming back to the Red Wings next year. He's coming home to Detroit. That's what his actual announcement was, is I'm coming home. The role that he's going to be coming back for hasn't really been announced. At this point, it's an advisory role. But we're not really sure exactly what it's going to entail, but it would be cool to maybe see him as an assistant or even a head coach.
Because I don't think he'd really put up with what's been going on with the Red Wings the last couple of years.
No, not at all. And I had an interesting conversation. Somebody had an interesting idea that if he was to become the head coach, there's the possibility that Pavel Datsyuk might even would come back to the NHL to play for the Red Wings to play for Eiserman.
But Datsyuk's got to be in his 40s, isn't he?
I don't know how old he is, but I know that he's still playing in the European League, and he is a top 5 scorer on his team since he left.
That's good to hear, but where is that age-wise? It's hard to tell. It was nice to have
right.
you, though. I'm up against a time wall, and I got a lot of stuff to get to.
Oh, absolutely. I don't want to keep you off, buddy. I just wanted to call and let you know that I've just enjoyed your show tonight. And I look forward to seeing you soon, bud.
Thank you so much, bro. I love you very much.
All right. I love you too, buddy.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye. So that was a great conversation we had, folks. That was awesome. It was great to have insight from a fan like that. Hopefully we'll have more of those. Now, for football, next game, Dow High hosting Bay City Western at Lincoln Community Stadium on what looks to be a soggy Friday night in Woodland Stadium. I'm not going to talk much about it at all. I expect Dow to just keep rolling like they've been doing. Western did get a win, though, so I do expect Western to come back with a little more pizzazz. I still think the Chargers will be able to overcome that, and they will win 42-20. So they'll give up a few more points, but I still think they'll do well. Let's go to Michigan. Michigan versus Maryland. Michigan still doing well. They were tested a bit more by Northwestern, and Maryland's been somewhat decent as well. Michigan over Maryland, 27-20. Michigan State versus Illinois. I think you'll see another good one for Michigan State. They will win 35-24. Now, let's start with the Lions on the NFL side. Lions. The Lions on Sunday have the tough task of playing the Packers at Ford Field. All the Pack fans, they all like to say, go Pack, go. If I'm somewhere on Sunday, like at a B-Dubs or something, and everyone is yelling, go Pack, go, you know what I'm going to yell right in their face? No, not right in their face, like their ear or nothing, but I was saying, no, Pack, no. Because they do their go Pack, go chant, but to be honestly, there are things we need to do if we're going to beat the Pats, the Packers. We're going to need to run the football a lot better than what we did against Dallas. And we are going to have to be much better at rushing the pass, better pass rushing, and pass blocking. Our defense really needs to try to get a fumble or two or an interception. Just make Rodgers' day, Aaron Rodgers' day, a bit difficult. Sack him a bit. So that we might have to say, no, Dan Miller's not gonna say it this way. I wish he would, like what Jim Brandon Sanders saying. Sack time. I know if I was the Lions play announcer and we were sacking Aaron Rodgers, I'd be saying, Rodgers, back to throw. Look for the receiver. Two to the left, two to the right. Rodgers, set, looks, throws. Sack time! That would totally be me. And after giving Brandt Sander a bit of a hard time, I think he's learning really well. And I'm enjoying his broadcast style, especially being he says sack time when Michigan gets a sack. Sacks the opponent's quarterback. And I do expect, by the way, to hear Jim say sack time a couple more times this week. Can the Lions, Rodgers, if they're able to run the ball and not just rely on the arm of Stafford. Those are going to be the two keys. Can we do it? Yes. The Bears have shown, the Packers have shown, that they are vulnerable. We saw that when they played the Chiefs. The Redskins. They lost to the Redskins. So, saying we're going to lose to the Packers. In fact, I think we're going to beat the Packers. Give me Lions 27, Packers 23. 27-23 Lions. They'll improve to 2-3. Packers will fall to 2-2-1. The next week, though, is their bye week. Now, one last NFL game. Then, real quick, I'll let you know about the Red Wings. Real quick. Patriots are taking on the Colts tomorrow night in New England, Boston area. And you have Tom Brady versus the Colts. The Colts, even though they're 1-3, I think they should really be 2-2 because I like how they've been playing. They've been showing some mojo, some pizzazz, some zest. They've been going at it a bit and making plays. I think you will see a hard-fought game by both teams. I don't think the Patriots are just going to go in there and just destroy the Colts. However, they are getting Josh. They do have Josh Gordon. They have a receiver back from suspension. So that could make it a little bit further apart than what it already was. So I am making it a 10-point spread. Kind of have to. At least a 10-point spread. Give me the Patriots over the Colts. 36-24. Once again, that's 36-24 Patriots. To go over these picks one more time, you have Midland winning over Bay City Central. You have Dow winning over Bay City Western. Michigan over Maryland. Michigan State over Illinois. Lions over the Pack, over the Colts. No, this isn't me being biased by any means. It's just the opponents they're playing. The Lions, I'm not being biased. I'm just confident that I think they can do it because we have a good team. We have good talent. We're better than the 1-3 that we are. That pass that was that had previously been called intercepted, that thing was later overturned in San Francisco. That should have got them a win. Should have won in Dallas. That pass that they gave up was a disaster. They should be 3-1 right now. Just like the Bears. But instead they're 1-3 and at the bottom of the division. Just a couple key plays. What that separation is. So you think, oh, the Lions are just a sleeper. They're terrible. That was just week one and they had a lot of kinks to figure out and we couldn't figure out what was wrong. Now we're showing up and playing football, but sometimes it just hasn't been so easy.
We got one more caller to end the show.
Hello. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah. Hello. I just wanted to ask you, do you feel like you are going to make the arrangements to go attend the game in New England?
I didn't say I was going to that football game.
No, but it sounds like something that you should do. If you're going to host a radio show, you should be going to all the games. I feel like you probably need to go to New England. I just wondered when you wanted to go, and I would start setting it up so that your staff that they're assisting you tonight could take you. So when is the next game so she could take you?
I love you though, Mama. Okay to be
honest. I love you. Powerful show, and the things that you shared tonight are just like wonderful and so encouraging, and we all need to hear them. And I can't wait to buy a ticket to ride, to drive you all over the United States to get some tickets from all the McDonald's. So
and
I
of course, but we gotta have respect for that altar of God. It's very important.
Yeah,
respect for the altar is very important.
Yes. Amen.
And that's why
so,
I did that.
Yes. It was powerful. Powerful. Thank you for this great show. got a lot of listeners. You're doing a great work. You lift up the name of Jesus. He will draw people to himself through you. And it's wonderful. Keep preaching.
Yeah, yep. Got Reverend Randolph approached me today at the mall, and he asked me what I was up to, told him about the show, and he wants you to write down the info for him so you can give it to him at church tomorrow.
All right. Praise God. I'll do it.
Yeah.
We got to teach children tomorrow night. I thought you could teach them about the altar like you did tonight.
I'm going to.
All right. I will talk to you in a little bit. I love you, son.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you. All right, folks. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody. Did you find my box?